Okay, ready?
Everybody
settle and action.
Warning, Critique Revolve contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended,
you're one ugly motherfucker. Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, that's great. That's just fucking great, man.
You rub the clothes on the skin, it doesn't even have
any control. Most of the night. Most of the night.
Wow!
There are
several fools.
Short round. Very
nice.
Be right
back.
English
All right, hello, welcome everyone to Critique Revolve. This is Rayman Digital's film, television, and media podcast. If you are new to the show, you can find all episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. You just have to search Critique Revolve. I am Michael, your host, and in the studio, we have a full studio ready to get angry. We're going to trigger those outrage algorithms, I'm sure.
I wonder if just by saying ready to get angry, you could tell who's in the room.
So with me today to talk about some Netflix is David. Hello.
Hello.
Thomas.
Hello.
And Bobby.
A petered out is because of the French word petard, which means to fart.
The more you know.
Thank you.
I don't think anyone's going to know what that means.
It doesn't matter. Inside jokes are good for me.
All right. So today we're going to discuss the recent news that Netflix plans to purchase Warner Brothers Discovery. It still needs to be approved by the government as well as other parties such as shareholders and the like. But the road seems pretty clear for Netflix to take over a major studio. Now, the reason we're talking about this is because it seemingly came out of nowhere. Paramount was the company we've been hearing about who was interested in buying Warners. If Paramount purchased Warners, it would come with its own set of problems, largely ideological. They did counter with an aggressive bid after the Netflix announcement.
Yeah.
What was the dollar amount?
It's like $102 billion.
Yeah, it was 100 plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You know what I have right here? Paramount on Monday.
$30 more a share.
Announced on Monday, it has commenced an all cash tender offer to acquire all of the outstanding shares of Warner Brothers Discovery for $30 per share. An operation, it says, equates to an enterprise value of $108.4 billion.
All cash?
All cash.
All cash.
Now, Netflix agreed to buy Warner Brothers Discovery's studio and streaming assets for a $72 billion equity value, making the total deal value around $82.7 billion, including debt. Before we get into the actual facts and the pros and cons, I want to hear people's feelings about this, because I think most of us in the studio were kind of just burnt out on buyouts and mergers. And listen, we're not naive. We understand that's how the business has been since the dawn of time. Hollywood is constantly trying to reinvent itself, save itself, grow larger through deregulation. Like, this is not new. But what is new is a company who has an agenda from its very conception. Its agenda was to undermine and dismantle theatrical exhibition as well as the video industry. They destroyed the video industry.
They did.
And now they want to do it to the exhibition side. And that's really the surprising aspect, that a company that's made its entire business model around destroying another business is now looking to buy one of the largest studios in the United States because they can't do what they want to do. And we'll get into exactly what that is they want to do truly in just a moment. David, tell me your passions and your thoughts.
My passions on this subject right here with, especially with Netflix, because it is still an ongoing cycle that's going on, because you have other companies like Paramount just coming in and wanting to kind of do a hostile takeover. That's what a lot of people are calling it, is a hostile takeover. But my passion about this is I do not like the fact that all these mergers are happening. Like the mergers, you're right. We live in a time when this is happening. But I think it's getting worse and worse.
It is getting mm-hmm. worse and worse. And because IP is so important nowadays,
yeah,
it's not allowing fans to marinate and enjoy their IPs without the plans and strategies that had been set up and announced and promoted. We're never going to see any of these
exactly.
because of these constant mergers that upend strategies and alleged plans.
Because think about
it. We won't change anything right now.
That's never. Whoever honest to God believes that besides idiots?
Yeah.
That has never once in the history of humankind been true.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about like.
But this time's different, Thomas.
I can change him.
With Warner Brothers' point in this is like, they had a huge lineup coming up. I mean, me and you have talked in ad nauseum about it, and me and you, Bobby, have talked about it, where we were thinking that the next couple of years was going to be big for Warner Brothers.
Well, they had 6-7 number one movies over the summer.
And all of a sudden, we're getting out of this game. We're glad to be taken in by a bigger company.
They don't even need to. This is just sheer greed.
Yep.
What in the world is, what is the point?
Greed.
And it is.
Warner Brothers actually fixed itself. They actually are okay on paper. Obviously, they have debt. You're not a company in today's environment unless you have debt, liability. But they are set to start turning profit. But greed gets the best of these shareholders. And they're like, yes, we want that.
We want that.
We want that. Thomas, go ahead.
Oh, man. I don't like the merger. I think the merger element is bad for competition, bad for business, bad for the consumer. I think there's nothing good is going to come of it for us. Anybody who will think, oh, well, now I'm going to get a Netflix show for DC characters, just like Netflix did Marvel and Daredevil, and it's going to be great. I'm like, no, it's not, because the less competition, the less you have to try. And it's going to just continue the circle of the drain of modern entertainment, I feel, in many respects. I think the merger from a monopoly business standpoint is the biggest concern to me. On one hand, Netflix, I don't like the idea of them buying this legacy company that's been around for Hollywood for so long. But at the same time, part of me is like, Warner Brothers, until recently, has made more catastrophic decisions than the captain of the fucking Titanic. And the fact that you can do that for 10, 15 years of just monumental fuck up, eventually you don't really deserve to be a company anymore. So I kind of have a lot of regret and remorse about this, but also like no sympathy.
To be fair to Warner Brothers, which is very rare for me to say, they're not really the same company that they were even 4 years ago, because they keep changing hands, mm-hmm. different types of ownership, different types of management. So they haven't really even settled on a managerial style, a true strategy yet, before they're on to the next cell.
Mm-hmm.
It's like hot potato with Warner Brothers.
Well, and that spastic changing of personality is, nobody's going to like you if you can't decide on who the hell you are. You don't get invited to the party if you're changing your personality every 5 minutes.
Oh, they're house flippers.
Yeah, that too. That's a good.
Oh my god, that is good analogy.
Yeah, yeah, go ahead, Bob.
One, Netflix is the devil. It ruins all TV shows.
What are you talking about? Stranger Things is the event of the season
for 3.5 days. And what the fuck happened?
Exactly.
Come back at Christmas.
I mean, I've always, the binge watching strategy sucks for new television. It's cool for reruns.
That is true.
The fact that I've always had an issue with Stranger Things Netflix for the binge watching aspect of it, as somebody's been covering TV shows for the last 10 years when you sit there and you tell me that, oh, well, there's a cool show coming out, and then 3.5 hours later, it's all over the internet and getting posted to Reels, the show's ruined.
Yeah.
So I do hate that.
Why I don't like, you know, the ending of part one of Stranger Things was spoiled within
hours. One.
Yeah. Somebody went and watched the last thing just to ruin it.
Yeah.
But that's my deal with it. Like, Warner Brothers has a turnaround. We're only talking Warner Brothers when it, you know, we think about what they're buying, but they're also buying HBO.
Yeah.
HBO's been solid since I was a baby. You know, as far as television shows go, we have now Netflix is trying to get into live sports. When you deal with live sports, HBO also owns True TV, Turner, TBS, all those things where college basketball, hockey, the Olympics, all those things are shown on all those. And now Netflix is getting into that game, too. It's bigger than the movies. Again, my issue with Netflix is I just don't like the strategy of binge watching anymore because there is no anticipation. It's this instant gratification. Hold on, I don't like this porn. Let me find another one so I can come real quick and get on to the next one.
That's true.
But it's not the fact that Warner Brothers is getting passed around, you know, like everybody's sloppy seconds. It's the fact of the matter is that Netflix is the one that's probably going to hold on to it and whore her out.
It's this the same thing as I felt when Disney bought Star Wars. I'm like, well, this is done. This is never going to be the same again.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into exactly the details behind why this is a big issue going on. So I'm going to go through several points and you guys just jump in, interject wherever you see fit. So the Netflix issue from an industry perspective comes with a set of problems that will more than likely change many things that the average person who's like, yay, they don't even understand. Mm-hmm. For example, forget price increases. That's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. But the company has already indicated that it intends to shorten theatrical windows for Warner-produced films, while Netflix says it will continue releasing certain titles in theaters. The broader industry trend shows that attempts to save cinema through streaming-driven strategies, such as hybrid releases, very short windows, or even day-and-date experiments, have largely failed to stabilize theater attendance or theatrical revenue. So instead, what these strategies have typically done is accelerated the shift of audiences toward streaming. And this whole thing is predominantly going to benefit Netflix itself. They keep saying that this is for consumer convenience. This change is going to benefit them. It's for the convenience of their pocketbooks.
There's entire industries and what do you think marketing is in a company? It's half of it is trying to get people to buy shit. The other half is trying to protect their image and convince you, no, this isn't the worst thing ever. It's not, you know, fucking corporate theft or espionage. It's competition and like rechanging of words all the time.
Don't worry, DC. We fired Zack Snyder from Netflix, so he's not going to come back into your universe.
Okay, so you bring up Zack Snyder. So they have tried their hand at doing tentpole films, blockbuster films, and they have failed miserably at every corner. They have done, I think, 15 actual tentpole films, and none of them have resonated. Not one has been greenlit for a sequel, a continuation of any type, a spinoff. They simply die.
Yeah.
So they can't even create a film, so they're doing what most hacks do. They go and just buy out the next guy. So Netflix is going to benefit whether audiences watch a film on their platform or in a cinema. They don't care about that. The only reason why Netflix even got involved in cinema, like meaning they bought several theaters across the United States that they called Netflix theaters, and they have willingly recently allowed certain of their high profile films to be released in theaters for maybe 10 to 14 days. And the reason why is only so they can lure talent, because there are directors and actors who do not, and they specifically have said, I will not do a streaming movie. I just won't. So what they say is, how about we give you 10 days in the theater? So they're selling them the prestige, but no means to actually make money on the film itself. Once it's released, it dies. Mm-hmm. So they're love for theater suddenly that has popped up is because they've been eyeballing studios to purchase, and they don't want people to say they hate the theaters, so they've bought theaters so they can just simply lure talent. It's all manipulative.
Yeah.
And if you read between the lines and follow, because I always follow everything Sarando says, and before him, Hastings Reed, who ran Netflix, because they were more open with it in the mid-2000s with their direct hatred, it seems like, in a lot of ways, of theatrical exhibition.
Yes.
And now, over the last maybe 5 or 6 years, because they tried to get get Martin Scorsese for the Oscar-nominated film. What was that
the
one?
The Irishman.
The Irishman. That was one of their first big gets in terms of directors. It didn't do much of anything. It did well at the award shows, again, because of the prestige. That's all they care about, because they understand if they want to be taken seriously in the film industry, they got to bring that prestige. And that comes with auteurs, that comes with high-profile actors. But other than that, they don't care about cinema. They care about their business model, which is simply streaming. So shorter windows, what does that actually mean? Because people are like, well, 10 days is pretty cool for me. But shorter windows also drastically reduces actor wages.
Yes.
It makes traditional back-end deals effectively worthless.
Mm-hmm.
And it discourages major stars from accepting reduced upfront salaries, since the diminishing importance of the box office performance leaves little opportunity for any meaningful bonus compensation. So if you can't attract talent anymore because there's no money, what's going to happen is you're not even going to have these big budget films that actually bring in real profit, real revenue.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Netflix, and people may say, well, that's Netflix. They're not going to do that with Warners. They have said the only thing they have confirmed is that they will shorten windows for Warners. So their business model, their strategy will affect how movies get made. And in all actuality, you're probably going to see a drastic reduction, because their business model does not sustain high budget films. It can't, because it's simply taking from a piece of a pie. It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Is how they pay their people. Oh, Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon came out. It had 500,000 viewers. Let's take our money from this pie and we're just going to move it over here.
We got lucky with Squid Games. We bought this for a nickel.
Yeah.
Sold it for 500 million. Let's go.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest problem. So when people say, well, why are so many people up in arms? It's because it's going to hurt the industry across the board. This will not help.
Yeah, it's the death of the Hollywood system.
Well, at the same time, though, I've seen this argument, and I don't necessarily disagree with it. One, I think the death of the Hollywood system is, in fact, inevitable in some ways. Like theater and radio are not what they once were.
No.
Movies are in like a death squeal at this point because of the mismanagement, the bad decision making, the lack of innovation, the destruction of many multiple revenue sources by themselves, which is astounding. But I also wonder how much of this is inevitable because of the advent of the internet and the changing of that delivery method. The communication and the shortening of distances between people has always been the basic innovator of technology. Whether it was the boat or the train, the railroad across America, the internet, if you can shorten the distance, that's what moves technology and people. Social media, we used to have to wait days, weeks for mail and news. Now you get it in a nanosecond, as Bobby said earlier, even with spoilers. So how much of this is the internet and this fact that streaming is what people primarily do? The audience has shifted there. Now, I'm not disagreeing with Netflix's parasitic relationship with intellectual properties or good decision making even, but how much of this is inevitable because of the fact of the internet, because of the rising ticket prices, because of the poor movies that are made? There's no incentive for people to go anymore,
but
like there once was.
Why are ticket prices rising?
Because they're not bringing people in.
And why aren't people being brought in?
Because they're making bad movies.
That's one of the major reasons. That's a subjective reason. That's not necessarily a fact. The reason why theaters are not pulling in the numbers they used to pull in is because of the so-called convenience of streaming. But
right.
you have to add value. And I'd like to point out that one reason why, you know, theatrical returns are diminishing is an issue of value. And you could say value could be the fact that maybe perhaps, Thomas, you said that the movie sucks, so there's no value there. But when I hear the argument about consumer convenience, especially as it relates to film, I find it a little kind of absurd and a little disingenuous, because convenience makes sense for a pack of gum you grab at Circle K, not for cinema. Netflix frames, you know, the shortened or non-existent theatrical windows as a benevolent service,
right?
And not just them, all streaming, as if audiences were clamoring for immediate access. But that logic actually collapses under the slightest pressure, meaning the value of cinema is not increased by making it endlessly available at the push of a button. Markets generate value precisely by not making everything instantly accessible. So scarcity, anticipation, and shared ritual give the theatrical experience its cultural weight. So to call it convenience or streaming, as you were saying, which is convenience, I feel like when your actual aim is to dismantle, which is what Netflix has said, the older distribution ecology is at best disingenuous and at worst a rhetorical, like, sleight of hand, you know, that legitimizes their own industrial agenda. So yes, convenience is a thing, but how long before convenience leads to valueless content?
We're already there.
But when you can watch something on Paramount Plus,
if it works,
there's no longer the value or the necessity to go to a theater. And this is just an argument of semantics at this point in terms of value. Should we hold back on things in order for there to be value? But that is actually how you create value. That's how the baseball card industry runs. That's how
the scarcity
magic, the cards work operate.
Yes and no. It's
hold
gotten
on
drunk.
Real quick. Let's look at this year's Super Mario Brothers. And that would be K-pop demon hunters.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like,
if Netflix would have let that go to the theater, that would have been the next $1 billion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, easily, yeah.
You know, where they don't ever give it the opportunity. Because I compare it to Mario Brothers, because Mario Brothers probably had the longest run in a theater that I've
seen.
In a while. And it seemed like K-pop Demon Hunters was on that same path on Netflix, being the number one movie forever.
And then
it got released to the theater, and then people were going to the theater. Mm. Now, they would never, like, we would never see those type of things, because Netflix is just going to go, okay, here's your thing. I guess people want to see it in the theater. Maybe we'll put it in the theater. Well, we're going to make money that way, too. It's just like, that's what I worry about, is that we sit there and we look at what franchises that Warner Brothers owns as an IP, and how is that going to be managed by the content machine that is Netflix, that is just going to force feed stuff out.
Yes.
You know, where, you know, they keep saying that, you know, DC's fine, we're not going to do anything now. Yeah. It's like, cool, DC, Harry Potter,
Game of Thrones.
Like, you have all these shows and things that HBO and everybody's been doing. And it's just like Mike said, when there's no value to it, or like, if you look at Game of Thrones, if that was a Netflix show, do you think it would have been as big? Because we would have got instant gratification and 5 minutes after we saw the Red Wedding.
Yeah.
I mean, Thomas, it goes right back to what you said, which I disagreed with you at first, but in retrospect, I agreed about Star Wars. Mm-hmm. What was your biggest problem with Disney taking over Star Wars? They were going to bastardize it and just do so much of it that it doesn't mean anything.
Well, and they were
going
to neuter it as well. But yeah.
But do you remember your biggest problem was like, we don't need 50 TV shows. We don't need 75,000 movies, because it's an event.
Yes.
So it being an event is a value.
I think you guys are confounding what I'm saying. I don't disagree that having it be an event is a value. I don't disagree that metaphorical edging will make people enjoy something more.
But you're saying the inevitable is going to happen, so let it just happen.
No, what I'm saying is the inevitable is going to happen because people are stupid, and I think this is the train we're stuck on. So how long was it going to be while idiots were running things before this is just where we end up? And there is an element of convenience versus the situation that theaters provide right now. I know many people younger than me in my workplace and in other places who don't care about going to the movie theater, who watch a lot of content on their phone. Part of me being mad about that is, you know, quote, old man yelling at clouds. But at the same time, they don't care because it is popcorn consumable. I don't like this. Move on to the next thing. Scroll, 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 scroll.
That's because of value. They don't understand because they never understood the value of it.
The problem we have today is that this ever-growing, the graph needs to constantly go up. We need to have the next big thing. Every week needs to be something. We need more content now. So things get greenlit. So nothing is special anymore. The fact that Stranger Things has any talk about it defies the Netflix logic of how they would normally release things, because it is an event that they're spacing out how they're going to watch it. And you have to be part of it to be part of the conversation. That's how things used to be. We used to watch season finales and season premieres and talk about it. And people would water cooler or forums or whatever have you. We don't have that anymore, but because they want the graph to keep going up, you always need something. So because they don't put in the effort, like anything, there is no immediate return on delaying gratification. And when a corporate person looks at that, they say, well, then we need a new thing right now. And so let's do another thing right now. And you get into this point where you're running so fast on the treadmill, churning and burning so much. It's all just miserable content, and it all just makes no weight for anything. I agree with all of that, that waiting for something or having the weekly anticipation where you have to be part of this movie because it's in theaters now. They've done this to themselves, trying to compete with Netflix. But at the same time, the movie theater experience does not provide for the average 18 to 34 year old these days what it used to provide compared to what's in your pocket right now and the convenience of this. So I think the fact that a lot of dross and slop content is made, plus the convenience of I'm on my couch, fuck it. And the fact that the economy and people are not doing well, regardless of what any business says, the average person doesn't have fucking money and they complain about not having a being able to buy a house, multiple roommates.
That's a whole other thing.
The whole, but you, if you don't have money, going to the movie theater for $50,
I don't agree with you that people don't have money though. That's a whole other topic that we don't need to get into because we've talked about this. I
think it's worse than you think it is.
Dude, when I walk down a street and I see a homeless man with two iPhones and an iPad, he's wealthier than my great grandmother was. Okay. Like when I see people complaining about the non-American dream in the United States, oh, things are so horrible. How many streaming services do you subscribe to? How many Uber orders did you make this week? How much waste did you spend? Because that's your American dream. Your American dream is that you can have 20 subscriptions. You can have Uber deliver food at any moment. You're choosing to spend your money. I'm not trying to say things aren't tough. Things are tough for me as well. But when people cry that I don't have money to spend on a $12 ticket, that's just because your priorities isn't on that because there's no value.
Regardless of that, though, they're not going to spend $30, $50 at the movie theater when they have that subscription. And if I wait a week, I'll see it in my couch.
Yeah, so it's a cultural issue.
It's a cultural, societal issue. It's a technology issue.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's a bunch of different issues.
And we can't put the genie in the bottle. That's not right. Back in the bottle. I'm not suggesting that.
I think if you had long windows that you could only see it in theaters, we've talked about this before, and streaming was not an option, and if it was gone for like the multiple months like it used to be when you bought a DVD, if you missed the window to watch it in theaters, you had to wait so many months for it to come out on DVD, I think that people would go to the box office more. But why would you do that and pay the price of buying the movie to see it once when you can wait a couple weeks because everyone's busy with other 50 million other shows that just came out during the time it took me to say the sentence? The value isn't there, so therefore they aren't driven to do it.
Yeah. No, I get that for sure. Well, hold on. I want to go back to Bobby's point real fast, Dave. When he brought up K-pop Demon Slayer, is that what it's called?
Demon Hunter.
See,
act like you don't know.
So the
what is it? What is it?
What is it? What they call it? What's that song they sing?
What's that website? Pornhub.
So dumb.
What would I search?
That was a good example, Bob. And I think you were going down a route that I was trying to get to as well. For example, And touching on what you said, Thomas, because I agree with what you were saying at towards the end there about the windows being shortened. This is what I'm trying to get to. Mm-hmm. I'm not suggesting we shouldn't have streaming. Streaming is great. I like streaming for the most part. I don't like how they, you know, we have creative issues with it, like how things are being written, like Bob had mentioned, and how it's released. I don't have a problem with streaming. It is convenient. I do like it for the most part, but I do not believe movies like Superman that just came out, movies like Final Destination, movies that have a potentially long shelf life should be relegated to a 10-day window. If Superman had done that, it would not have even broken $300 million.
Yeah. Right.
So my suggestion and my hope for Netflix, if this buyout actually happens, is that there are stipulations for certain movies, that certain movies are allowed to grow. And even I will add to that, if a movie that wasn't necessarily going to do well, let's say a Sinners, for example.
Yeah.
And originally it was slotted for a 10-day run. Well, if it's doing well, I think they should leave it in the theater and let it grow organically through word of mouth. Exactly. Yeah. That's all I'm suggesting.
No, and I agree with that. I think that is one of the major problems is that we've had this conversation. We are actively watching the Hollywood movie TV industry relearn the making of the wheel and how fire
essentially
works. Oh my God, if we share our networks and our content amongst next networks, we'll make more money. Syndication, that was a thing that you used to have to do. And like now you have these, like Disney is making Disney Plus, which I don't know how many people genuinely like unless you are watching Marvel or Star Wars slop or like really as it. I am The Simpsons, because that's where it is because they bought fucking Fox. You don't really give a shit, but you used to be able to get all that stuff on Netflix or Hulu or one of the other two.
Netflix just reacquired Friends.
You know,
like, you're right.
There was this golden age that we had, and we don't realize until it's gone, as often with many things in life, where you had your reruns of Friends and The Office were on Netflix, and new stuff came out in the theater, and it was there for a long time. And then you would have to watch it in theater, or maybe it'll be on a streaming eventually, which one is a random roll of the dice, unless it's like a Warner Brothers project or something like that. Maybe it'll be on Netflix. Maybe it'll be on Hulu. Those are the only two options at that time. And it was a nice setup.
Sometimes you found it was on Stars and you're like, fuck,
holy hell. Now I got to get Stars. Right. Now we have a situation where it's like, hey, it's coming out or you can wait, whatever.
But we would, why would you do that then? Like I was talking to Mike about it. It's like John Wick would never be a thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And what we're doing is going to actively sabotage
those type
more of things like that.
Two movies that I know three of us in the studio just saw and we like the horror film with Ethan Hawke.
Black Phone 2.
Those wouldn't exist. No. Maybe the first one, but the second wouldn't. Because Netflix, what they do, this is what people need to understand. They actually don't care if a film is profitable because all they use content for, and this is why they're buying HBO or Warner Brothers, is all they need to do is prevent churn, meaning fallout. They need to keep people from not canceling. And one way.
Well, that's why Black Phone 1 and 2 would have been a TV show or a mini series event.
And that's the reason why Stranger Things is broken into multiple parts. That's why all their big shows are broken into parts now. Because they're trying to prevent people from canceling, because that's the only way they make money on churn.
Even major movies. I mean, I'm not saying this is a good movie. But Rebel Moon Part 1, you know, and whatever the fuck the other one is, Part 2. Like that is their method. And it's they don't want the old system. I think the internet doesn't help the argument for the old system. And the current old system has made so many bad decisions, they don't have the money to fight the new system.
And also, like, the old system just doesn't have any incentives. There's no incentive for actually the audience to want
if to Star actually Wars have. Was still good.
If it was.
And it was a once every 3-4 year movie, and we were still waiting for or had just seen a good, well-written, I'm not going to say Rise of Skywalker, I'll just say Episode 9, whatever that would have been. people would have gone to the fucking movies. That would have been something to talk about. That would have been an event.
And I've talked about it on the air. The last event thing that I went to with Haley and Lauren and Paul and everybody that we left the studio went right was the Infinity comeback War. For Star Wars. Oh. You know?
Yeah.
You know, when it finally was going back to the theaters. And I haven't been to another one to where...
Dude, I remember.
Oh my God, I gotta get at Mike. We gotta get out of here by 9:30 because my fucking movie starts at 9:45.
Yeah,
maybe Infinity War and Endgame.
But see what I mean? There's no real incentive nowadays.
Yeah, well, besides, I mean, like Star Wars, the Force Awakens, everyone was going to see that. Yeah. Everybody.
We had to find a theater that had reserved seats.
Tickets were impossible to get.
So if we didn't have reserved seats, we weren't going to be able to get there.
Same in Infinity War Endgame, that had that same vibe and energy.
That's everything that's destroying value as well, Bob. What you just brought up about reserved seating. I like reserved seating, but when you have a reserved seat, you show up late. There's no like interest in getting a ticket and standing
there's nobody
in
waiting
line.
In line and being a part of it.
And I know that's just me sounding like a Luddite, like I'm anti-technology.
I used to wait outside of Dillard's for my concert
but
tickets.
The thing is, as much as that argument of, oh, okay, boomer, old man shouts at clouds, there is something about the human experience of interacting with other people and being a part of that energy and being a part of the line and being one of my favorite memories, one of my best fucking memories is when my brother and I went into line at GameStop. We got my parents to get us there at like 3-2 in the afternoon. We were the first two people for Halo 3. There was 100 people lined up. Everyone's either in dressed up or talking about it. One guy brought his whole fucking TV and rig and people were playing Halo 2.
That's the best.
It was an experience. Getting to be part of that was something that you remember and cherish as a memory. What is your memory of Stranger Things? I watched it on my couch. While also looking at porn and jerking off.
I fell asleep.
I don't even remember what happened with episode 3 and 4, but there was that Demogorgon or something.
There was Vecna.
Does Will have powers now? I don't remember that because season 2 was 9 years ago.
When did she get tits?
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus. Like 10 years ago? Tarantino said something recently about streaming shows. A lot of actors and directors are now coming out against streaming shows just creatively, not the model, just pointing to issues. And Tarantino said, you know what? I watch a streaming show and I'm like, it's not bad, but you know, because I watched it back to back, I don't even remember seasons.
Yeah.
I don't remember the villain from this season. I don't remember what this villain did in the second season. I don't remember a character they introduced. It all meshes together and there's no distinction. I don't understand what I watched. I've never thought about it that way, but he's right. There are numerous shows where I can't pinpoint a single event that happened in a specific season.
If you like called you and said, I think it's good, but I don't remember. Yeah.
If you take all the ingredients of something and put it in a blender, can you tell which part is the banana versus which part is the strawberry?
Nope.
You remember it. Maybe it tasted good.
Yeah.
Maybe this goes to like what you were originally alluding to, Thomas, about like the instant gratification.
Yeah.
But like no one wants to savor the content anymore.
They don't know how.
The last time that I've ever seen someone truly savor a series, right, is Breaking Bad. When Breaking Bad, that was the one that I always felt like, because even in the days of Stranger Things, maybe a couple months later, everyone's forgotten about it.
I'd say Game of Thrones also had that until the writing.
Writing got ass. But like when you think about it,
you still wanted to watch it.
I did because it was an event that you had to be a part of.
You had to see it to the end.
And you had to watch it on Sunday night.
You had to watch it on Sunday night. If
Monday morning, there could be spoilers. Dude. When we purchase all this other stuff, they talk about, you know, what shows on TNT, TBS, True TV. You're getting Impractical Jokers. You're getting those type of things. You're getting the first... 2 weeks of or 2 weekends of NCAA basketball.
Yep.
That is like a huge thing that they purchased all this. They purchased, they have hockey on there. And like, are we getting into these live sports things? AEW wrestling is on TNT. Netflix has a deal with WWE. So now
this is TV.
Are we ditching this? But the TV is part of it.
No, I'm saying we've just gone back to TV. It's just through Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you see what Netflix is doing? Netflix is essentially trying to reinvent cable, and they want to be cable because they made an announcement, I want to say 2 weeks ago, because there's a lot of complaints. I was one of them. Why can't I cast my phone Netflix onto my TV?
Because it's easier to put the VPN on your phone.
They no longer want people to cast from their mobile devices. They yep. said that in the very near future, the only way you're going to be able to watch Netflix is on your television. Now, when I say that, I'm talking you can still watch it just on your cell phone and you can watch it on your computer, but they don't want people casting. They want it to be.
I can't cast to my TV from my phone because I VPN to Canada so I can watch all of WWE
exactly.
on Netflix instead of trying to pay for ESPN.
That is one of the reasons, absolutely, because VPNs have become a huge thing. I mean, I use them too. But also, they want the circulation and the feel of infinite television. Yeah. And they want to be one dashboard on your television so they can pawn themselves off as what Thomas has said. Again, patting him on the back for being right. This is cable 2.0. Netflix that's is going to be the first innovator of that.
That's why they want to buy HBO, because it's not cable, it's Netflix. That's what it is, just like it used to be for HBO.
Netflix wants to be the new dragon. You know, like, remember back in the day, it was NBC, CBS, you know, ABC. They were ABC. They were the big three. And then all of a sudden it started whittling down. And then you had all these people like vying for their content. Netflix just wants to actually return to that. And they want to be the big dragon. They want to own all of it.
They want to own 25% of the CW.
Yeah.
What's that?
Why? I don't
know. No, the CW's dead, thankfully.
What's that phrase?
No, they'll bring it back, Mike. If they want the content, they'll bring it back. There.
It's that line, the kingdom long united must divide, the kingdom long divided must unite. Cable long united must divide into 50,000 different streaming platforms and various methods. And now streaming, this has long since been divided, must unite.
Netflix is Julius Caesar. They whispered in everyone's ears.
And we're going to stab them in the back.
Working their way through the crowds, mm-hmm. pretending they have no agenda. We're just here for convenience.
Yeah.
That's it.
A stronger Rome.
Fuck theatrical exhibition. That's exactly what they've done over the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And now they did it. It turns out they're not necessarily against theatrical exhibitions. They just wanted to control it.
First, they came for Fox, and I said nothing because I didn't watch Fox. Then they came for HBO, and I said nothing because I didn't pay for HBO. Like, that's what they're doing. Soon it'll just be Netflix and fucking what? Disney at this point?
So from the TV side, Bob, are there other big changes to the TV side potentially?
I mean, what are we going to do with all our classic cartoons?
Yeah.
They'll get deleted because they're not making any money. Like HBO already did.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about like Looney Tunes and all of those things.
Oh, even take it further. Even like the 90s. Even the 90 cartoons, they're going to cut them.
That's something else that I've kind of noticed. Like stuff, when you remove things like that, kids are not going to get references that we all, that the generations, they already don't, but like generations used to understand the reference, like the picnic basket with Yogi Bear kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's not a thing that anyone knows, nor will they ever learn because it's been deleted off the internet, and they control what you see and when and what's available and how for how long.
1984.
How many How many TV properties, Bob, do they actually have? Like Warner Brothers, and because is Netflix actually purchasing their television side too, or is it just?
But if you're purchasing HBO,
well, yes,
they're purchasing everything.
They're purchasing HBO and Warner Brothers, right? Their movie and TV side. But does that also mean their live content, their licensing deals?
Yeah. You would think that all has to go with it because HBO shows the live content as part of their HBO Max. So when you start dealing with that, then you got to think, you know, they just made the big thing was to bring over the Discovery side, you know, and I read stuff that they were thinking about taking the CNN and Discovery side and selling that off.
Okay, that's what I was reading too.
As part of it, because, you know, Guy's Grocery Games for the 10,000th time, you know, like probably makes more money than most of the Netflix shows, but what do I know?
Okay, you're right. So according to Reuters, or Routers, depending on how pretentious you want to be, Netflix has submitted a binding offer to acquire WBD's studios and streaming arm, including film plus TV production, and associated IP, franchises, libraries, and the streaming service HBO Max / premium content business. The assets being bought do not include certain legacy cable networks, for example, linear TV channels owned by WBD. So they may not have access to TNT. And
but then you're losing a good portion of your live streaming thing that they have.
Yeah.
Because, again, when if I was to go home, like I think the Avalanche were on HBO Max tonight that I could have watched because it was a live game on TNT.
So this is going to disrupt. It is going to disrupt live TV.
Licensing. Oh, hell yeah. It's going to disrupt a lot of things.
So I guess everything meant to be, I guess they're going to, it's going to spin off to something called Discovery Global is what they're thinking of doing.
That's what I read too. That part was, but CNN and all them were going to be their own publicly traded company.
Yeah.
News is important.
The merger itself, as I said, is the top of the show. The merger itself is frustrating and just annoying just to see constantly the changing of hands of ownership, just because even though they say consumer convenience, we know that consumer convenience comes with a price tag.
Yeah.
And we went just in 7 years, Netflix has gone from $8 a month for me to $25.
Yes.
That's insane.
And they're thinking of even increasing that to like by $30 next year.
They're going to have to. They would be ridiculously stupid not to.
Don't share your password with your grandma.
They've already locked it down to households. Like, again, we're just becoming cable, which I said fucking 10 plus years ago was going to be the case.
And we actually said that I think we did a show where we were theorizing what company's going to do it first. What company's going to come out and say, hey, this is just cable.
And I said it was going to be Netflix because Netflix is going with the Microsoft model of we want to be in every household. We don't care if we're the flashiest or all that stuff. They're like Dell. If they're fucking everywhere, if Microsoft is everywhere, then it's that much easier to be the one who can control all of it. Be first, not the best.
Figure that out later.
After you've killed and bought everybody else.
We have talked a lot about in the past, not just on this show. So I want to kind of end our show talking about how, or at least describing how Netflix makes money, because we constantly say there's no money in streaming. And then we get listeners saying, well, what do you mean by that? Because obviously there's money to be made because they're in business. So Netflix's ideology essentially is they don't need a film to be profitable. It only needs to prevent churn. That's it. So for example, if a $200 million movie prevents enough churn, say retaining 500,000 subscribers at $15 a month, it pays for itself through retention value, not profit. And that's the problem we're in right now, because that for the most part is how most streaming services have built their models around. The idea of not making profit, only
sustaining
subscribers.
Yes.
And how they sustain subscribers is constantly infusing new content. And that's why we have the smorgasbord of shittiness on almost every streaming platform, as well as D-grade movies being pawned off as the next great thing, like Section 31 on Paramount Plus, because they're simply giving you something so the subscribers don't walk away for that month.
1,000 channels and nothing to watch.
Yeah.
It's the same. The world is just on a fucking merry-go-round. How long until Netflix institute a real doom scroll like Instagram, like Shorts, where it's already playing?
Yeah.
I want to watch. Let the algorithm pick something for you, Mike.
Streaming services, most of them have a linear section, right?
Peacock, I think, has it to where it's just like 24 hours of this.
How long until they fix and manipulate and work out that algorithm?
Disney have a Simpsons channel?
Disney? It's like, I don't know if they have a channel, but they have it's on there. It's on Disney Plus.
I thought they had like a linear.
Not yet.
But even like Netflix has talked about copying the same thing that even like a streaming service like Pluto TV does, where Pluto TV does 24-hour like channels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's all like just like classic television.
Yeah. So the idea is already there.
24 hours of Perry Mason. Let's go.
And honestly, I find myself watching those linear television options more often than just clicking on a show to put on the background.
Think of how many people watch freaking Supernatural on TNT out of order.
Mm-hmm. Out of order. Yeah.
You know,
and that's right there. The fact that you do that, Mike, shows that it's already working. This model to just become the internet version of cable.
That's what I want.
Where they're the only one.
I wonder how many other people are doing that, though, that are not our age range, because I find myself drawn to that just because
it's nostalgic almost.
It just is more comfortable. It's more familiar to me. So how many younger people are actually watching those linear options?
I still think that
that's a good point.
I still think that younger people are more gravitating towards streaming of like Twitch and personalities there than they are anything that's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Truthfully.
You're right.
Because actually,
the numbers would back that up.
The numbers back that up. The fact that, you know, so many, I was at Raising Cane's, which I do like Raising Cane's, and this is not a sponsored bit because I'm going to talk shit.
White, there's no seasoning.
The sauce is the only reason you're there.
Yeah, way to eat mayonnaise.
The point is, they have a marketing thing right now with this Christmas with the...
Who does?
Raising Cane's.
Yeah.
With A Christmas Story. The 1983 film, A Christmas Story. I have seen so many things like that in these major franchises, and we're going to reboot this shit from the 80s and 90s. It is this constant grab to get like this demographic of the people in this room's attention.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what kids are into these days, because they're all on fucking Twitch and streaming and watching other things.
Or McDonald's adult Happy Meals with Grinch socks.
Exactly.
Like what?
Or the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Happy Meals? Good God. What happened to us?
Like the
infantilizing of an entire generation has not helped this.
It's Paramount that does the 24-hour channels of Star Trek, CSI Miami, and Criminal Minds, and all the things that Survivor 24
TV.
Yeah, it's basically
just TV.
Yeah.
Do you watch those at all, Bob? Do you find yourself drawn to that at all? No.
No. What I end up doing if I can't find anything to watch is I go to Peacock and I put on wrestling and I'll watch old wrestling until I fall asleep.
I'll
watch old wrestling.
Because I've already seen it. I know what's going to happen.
It makes us laugh because there's a lot of illogic back in those days.
Like the Iron Sheik. So stupid.
Kamala. I'm thinking Kamala.
Akeem the African Dream, who is white as fuck.
This is going to affect wrestling in a big way because that's one thing I want to get into really fast, and then we'll close out. Bob, I know we have wrestling fans that listen to our shows. So you have licensing arrangements through Warner Brothers with AEW, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
And then Netflix has licensing arrangements with
WWE.
Yeah.
So how?
They cut the loss with AEW because it's only like $75 million versus a $5 billion deal with WWE.
Is there a conflict of interest in terms of contract and licensing? Like, you know of that?
It would have to be.
But the thing is like, as soon as the deal goes through, Netflix can make any decision they want.
But if they pay him out not to do on TV, you know, like I could see that being a possibility, because why upset your $1 billion industry with the nickels that are coming in for the AEW side?
Because that was the thing that they actually brought up in a lot of wrestling news, was like, most likely Netflix is going to look at Tony Khan and AEW and say, here, we're going to just buy you out. You find your own place where you're going to go.
I'm wondering if AEW, that license agreement, that is more from the linear side, right? So they're live television. So perhaps
pay-per-views are exclusively on HBO Max.
Yes.
Oh, so that is going to present some issues.
So one of the only pay-per-views that HBO does.
Yes.
Is the AEW pay-per-views.
Okay. All right. Anything else anyone wants to say about Netflix before we close out?
Go Paramount.
It's sad. It really is like Harvey Dent. You either die the hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Because the thing is, I know you said go Paramount, Bobby, and I just don't want anybody
No, I would rather have them stay separate.
I'd rather have them stay separate.
Yeah, but if we had to choose the lesser of two evils, I would choose Paramount, because Paramount's whole entire priority right now is theatrical exhibition.
Do you like the ABC-Fox merger?
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying I like any.
It seems like we have a watered-down Fox now after ABC bought it.
Oh, well, yeah.
Because Disney is ABC, and they water down everything.
So that's what I worry about with
Paramount.
If Paramount comes in, sorry, Mike, I'm not trying to be offensive, because I know you guys like watch a lot of Paramount shows, but that's also my dad's network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
CBS. So.
But it is one of those things that basically.
Somehow
I agree with you in some regard, Mike, where it's like the lesser of two evils. We have to take the lesser of two evils. And yes, if anyone's been listening to us by this point, Netflix is the big devil. They're the devil that will change the system.
And it's not just us. It's the actors. The WGA just released a statement opposing the acquisition of Warner Brothers by Netflix. Mm-hmm. Multiple directors, big names, have come out saying this is not the direction we should be going currently. Trump was asked, because he has to approve it. His administration has to approve it. And typically, it isn't always the case. A lot of people tend to think that the issue of deregulation versus regulation is a Democrat versus Republican thing, and it's not. Now, largely in the recent times, within the last 20 years, deregulation seems to be more of a Republican thing because of all types of freedom ideas. You know, people should just do, capitalism should just do what they want to do and get government out of the way. And you know what? A part of me is like, yes, I don't like government infringement. But also, sometimes you have to get involved when
there's no morals anymore. Yes, money controls everything.
When there's a sector that's at risk. Now, people keep saying this is a monopoly. People who are not necessarily in the know. This isn't a monopoly. No. There are so many choices out there for streaming. This is nowhere in the realm of being a monopoly. It feels like it.
It does feel like your choices are not a monopoly, but like we're getting closer and closer as you can get before it is one.
I wouldn't call it a monopoly, but it would feel like when somebody's collecting all the same toys you are, and then they get their toys faster.
Yeah.
You're like, fuck, why do they get to play with the Simpsons? Why do they get to play with Superman?
Yeah. What are we? Hulu is owned by Disney. Disney Plus is Disney. ABC is Disney. Mm-hmm. Netflix is Warner Brothers. HBO is Netflix, Warner Brothers. Discovery is Netflix, Warner Brothers. Like, the more and more this, like, compounding into the
conglomerates.
This, like, Russian doll situation. Then when you only have to make an agreement between Disney and Netflix, it's easy to say, let's just jump all streaming to $60 a month. Fuck them. What are they going to do? They're going to go to who? No one. There's only two options.
Like,
it's more. Like, I'll give you a basic cable if you join your mobile phone.
Like, it's not a monopoly, but the more that stuff happens, I understand why people feel like it has that feeling almost.
Yeah.
Even though it's not technically.
Yeah.
They're all trying for the Infinity Stones.
Dude, we need Teddy Roosevelt. Just break up some of this shit, man. That's for people who like history.
No. What's that? What's history?
What happened yesterday?
Okay. Teddy Roosevelt was one of the heads in Futurama.
He was, yeah.
So Trump said that he has a lot of respect for Ted Sarandos, but he does have concerns about the merger, which is surprising to hear Trump say, because he is Mr. Deregulation.
Yeah.
If he does this, this would be largely what Hollywood wants. Will it earn him Hollywood points?
No.
Or will people just still fucking shit all over
him?
Mark Ruffalo's still angry.
What'll happen is it's a back alley deal where they're like, hey, we can't acknowledge that we're going to be happy about what you did, but we'll give you this shitload of money to stop this other shitload of money. And then we won't shit on you for like 3 weeks. And
we'll
We'll tell Kimmel to shut the hell up for another 2 years, who just got extended by another 2 years. It's all this back alley blowjob stuff. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah. No, it is.
As sad as it is, it's the truth.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's our thoughts on the whole Netflix thing. Hopefully we come back in January and we can say that it didn't happen.
The Saudi king bought it.
Jeez, that's a whole other issue.
And we'll have another episode.
Bobby just opened up Pandora's box at that point.
See, because I talked about this with someone online, and I was obviously against the Netflix merger. Mm-hmm. And then he replies on a comment saying, but what about the Saudi money from the Paramount Skydance deal? Would that be any better? And all I could say to him is essentially, well, one, the Netflix comes with a set of issues that will actually create dire consequences for the industry. Whereas the pushback for Paramount is largely ideological. It's about Saudi money. That's what you see people saying.
Yeah.
So.
But that's the easy thing for people.
Dirty money spends the same.
So ideology or the idea that the industry could fall apart.
Which puts me better than everyone else on the moral standing high ground, high horse. That's what the internet will pick.
Yeah.
Regardless of anything else, like that's what.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. All right. That's it. Thank you, everyone.
Hello. Very nice to meet you. I'd like to know about sex change operations.
I see.
Cut. No good for sound.
Well, fucking hell, Lloyd.
Man, game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
I'll be back.